Welcome to the Integrative Ideas in Nutrition podcast. This podcast is produced by the Committee of Inclusion, Diversity, Equity, and Access through the Dietitians in Integrative and Functional Medicine, DIFM, practice group with the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Join us to explore a range of whole food therapies and mind-body modalities within different settings and cultures, and to celebrate the ways that our diversity in practice and perspective makes us stronger. Please keep in mind that the information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only. Unless specifically stated otherwise, DIFM does not endorse, approve, recommend, or certify any information, product, service, or organization presented or mentioned. My name is Sarah Thompson Fajera, registered dietitian, integrative and functional nutrition certified practitioner, and your host for this podcast. Pamela Mallow, she, her, is a registered dietitian, certified coach, yoga instructor, and speaker. Her 20-year career in nutrition and dietetics has included working in global health, private practice, the startup industry, politics, and government research. For over a decade, Pamela traversed the United States collecting data for the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, NHANES. During this time, she conducted over 7,000 dietary interviews, lived in more than 60 cities, and saw firsthand the challenges that individuals face with food and nutrition. Pamela received her bachelor's in international nutrition from the University of Delaware and her master's degree in nutrition from the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. She currently serves as the Mind-Body Therapies Chair for Dietitians in Integrative and Functional Medicine, and her free time involves hiking, biking, cold water dips in the Puget Sound, and year-round outdoor dancing. How fun. Hi there, Pamela. Thanks so much for joining us.
Well, hello. It's so great to be here.
Looking forward to this rich conversation with you, a bit about your history, your journey, and just hearing what you have to share with us. So let's go ahead and get started. We'd love to start off by talking a bit about your own personal journey to becoming an integrative RD, being the mind-body chair now of DIFM. Give us a big picture overview here. How has that journey gone for you?
Sure. Well, I will say I was interested in this field before really even knowing what it was. I started studying nutrition as an undergrad, very interested in mind, body, spirit, and how I just knew in my own life how much that had influenced me, how much that had an impact. And when I started my formal studies in nutrition, I really wanted that to be a part of my program. And I was saddened, this was in the 1990s, that so much of what we now know and have research behind, but back then, 20, 30 years ago, it was considered quackery. So I actually decided not to study nutrition as a dietetic student, and instead made my own major in nutrition. And I just continued on. So I circled back many years later, became a dietitian when I got my master's. And then I also, right after that, went and became certified as a yoga instructor and immediately started integrating nutrition with yoga and mind-body practices.
So given your own personal dissatisfaction with kind of what you were seeing and feeling like you were starting to create your own path, how would you describe your approach to nutrition now, all these years later?
I would say that it continues to be a very mind-body spirit approach. I take what I call head, heart, and habits, where before we even dive into doing micronutrient analysis, it's really looking at someone's relationship with food. What are their thoughts about them, their body, the foods that they're eating? Because the thoughts are what impact how we feel, and our feelings impact what we do. So many people, as you probably know, and other dietitians can relate, people come to us to get support and they're like, just tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. And they think that like that their actions are the only thing that matters. And my belief and approach is that if you want to change your actions, you have to look deeper and farther upstream as far as what's influencing those actions. And that's going to be your thoughts and your feelings. So my general approach is to look at people from this holistic mind, body, spirit approach. And it's incredibly effective. I have so many instances of clients who come to me thinking that I'm going to dissect their diet and, you know, be very critical and tell them everything that they're doing wrong. And once we realize where the stress is coming from, for example, that it's they're beating themselves up about their food choices day in and day out. And when that shifts, one woman in particular, she had an 80% reduction in her GI symptoms just from switching the getting to the root source of the stress in her life. And so, so that's mm-hmm. that's generally how I approach things.
So you're describing some strongly held beliefs that you have. And, you know, as you're describing your approach, it sounds like you've not only, developed some understanding of how to, you know, effectively approach your clients, but you've also had some time to actually work with individuals and see, okay, what resonates and what's working, et cetera. And so I'm curious, you know, when you think about this long journey you've had, you know, educationally as an RD, are there certain really impactful events or circumstances or trainings, times in your professional career that you feel have been really developmental for you as an RD?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the first one, strangely enough, was what I described earlier, was opting out of dietetics initially, but then also circling back. I think that really it was a very hard decision. I wanted to be a dietitian. I wanted to be in that community of peers, but I also really wanted to hold true to what I valued and felt was important. And so that process of sort of leaving the pack and then coming back into the fold, I think was hugely influential and important in my journey. And I've done a lot of trainings. I have integrated so many different things with nutrition, whether it's my formal, you know, certification as a coach or yoga instructor or women's leadership and all of these things. I just think that they really create a richness and a depth. And it's also what makes every single practitioner different is we seek out the things that we're interested in, maybe that we need, and then we can weave those in and work them with our clients. And
with the coach training that you had gone through, wondering if you can speak a little bit more to that. I also have felt like professional coach training has been pivotal in my history and development as an RD. I feel like that really impacted the way that I approach conversations, the types of questions that I ask. Could you speak a bit more to your own experience with coach or yoga training? You know, what you started to notice shift or change in your own approach to nutrition or clients after those experiences?
Yeah, thank you. I think that's so good to reflect on. I think as a dietitian student, I was thinking I had to have the information and the knowledge, and mm-hmm. that was what was going to help and inspire and change individuals. But the truth is, not in every single situation, but the vast majority of the time, people know, you know, kale is healthier than cookies, for example. And I, you know, and so the, what really it comes down to is how do people make that decision and create that behavior change day in and day out in a sustainable way where they're not white knuckling it. And so what coaching and focusing on the psychology around it helps me as a dietitian to do is to, even just asking questions in a particular way that allows the client to hear themselves saying their reasons for doing things instead of me telling them mm-hmm. what the benefits are. It really, it changes things. And I got a touch, a tiny touch of that in my training, but really doing an intensive 108 or 20 hours really increased my ability to do that with my people who I work with. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then what about the yoga training? How did you feel that that shifted, broadly speaking, your approach overall? How has that played into, yeah, the work you do now?
It was interesting because I finished and graduated my master's and I became an RD. And then I jumped right into an intensive, immersive, live-in, month-long yoga teacher training wow. program. So it was, I went from a very academic head-based experience to a very body-based experience. And mm-hmm. I think seeing that contrast really allowed me to recognize that that body part was missing from my education. And since nutrition is so much about the body, it makes sense that we help individuals to connect with this physical form so that we're not just the walking head. And, you know, I call it sometimes floating head syndrome. We forget that we are this whole interconnected system that touches the ground, and that yoga, just even gentle yoga. And I was trained in a style of yoga called Kripalu yoga, and it's the yoga of self-compassion. Mm-hmm. So it's not about being bendy or doing special moves. It's really, can you be on your mat for this period of time and cultivate self-compassion no matter what happens? And so I think that that was so influential in my thought processes as an individual and as a mm-hmm. professional. Because mm-hmm, mm-hmm. food is an area where it's so easy for people to not have that level of compassion.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about that, about how the mind-body relationship and stress specifically might interact with our nutritional choices. What have you observed? What have you learned over the years that you could share with us?
Yeah. I think when it comes to stress, what I always go back to is it's not just a feeling, it's a physiologic response. So it is the cascade of hormones. You know, we release cortisol and insulin, and how that impacts how we feel, that can impact our hunger. It impacts what our body does with the food that we eat. And if we remember that stress is the textbook definition of stress is any real or imagined threat and the body's response to that threat. It doesn't matter if we actually have lost our job or if we are just constantly worried about losing our job, it creates that internal physiology. And so when we have that stress inside of our system, we feel, you know, we don't feel that great. And then we don't feel that great. We maybe don't make the choices that are in alignment with our health and nutrition goals. Stress can also throw off our sleep cycles, which impact our hormones, you know, hunger hormones and ghrelin and leptin. And it can also impact our gut microbiome. So there's all these different layers that stress can have an impact on the body and impact what we do directly or impact what we do through how we feel.
Mm-hmm. So when you think about working with individuals, how would you describe the state that you're wanting to move them into? A little bit of background, and what I'm asking would be, you know, it seems like if you're in a state where you're able to feel really embodied and thoughtful about the choices you're making. You don't feel that you're under pressure. You can think more clearly. That then translates oftentimes to perhaps better results, more consistent eating habits. What kind of language do you use with them? You know, here's where we want to go in order to help you to not be in this state of the chronic stress response, for example. What's the flip side of the coin?
Yeah. Oh, sure. So I'm relaxation, rest and digest, parasympathetic, nervous dominance, all of that is where it's easier to exist. And it's easier also to make change in that place. So for example, I start every session with inviting and asking my client if they want to just do a grounding, is what I call it. And that could be taking a few breaths together. That can be a mini, you know, progressive relaxation or guided relaxation that I just create for them on the spot. And I don't know if I've ever anyone say no, because it's people really like that. And we don't necessarily take the time to do that on our own. So just spending a couple minutes at the beginning of the session, it also creates a transition that marks, okay, we're stepping into this conversation now. And this is different from your work and your home obligations. This is really just a time for you to connect with yourself and explore here. And then the next thing I always like to do is ask them, what are their wins? Because our brains are hardwired to think of everything that's gone wrong. And especially when you're working with someone to make change, it's natural to kind of have your list of, you know, this isn't working and I want to change this and I forgot to do that. And so to help rewire and grow the neural pathways of change and looking for what is working, I always like to start with that question. And then we go into the check-in and the conversation and maybe more you would consider your traditional conversation. Mm-hmm.
And this is very much a coach approach, isn't it? Where it's trying to stimulate that growth mindset. The negativity bias is real. The negativity bias is real. Yes, I know. It's amazing how often, in my own experience too, you'll start up a session and it's just the barrage of things that have gone wrong and haven't gone according to plan. It's like, no. This is not getting us anywhere if your focus is here. What first can we celebrate? What first can we build on? Then let's troubleshoot, right? But wow, that can be so powerful. Exactly. Yeah, to do for sure. Can you talk a little bit more maybe about the process you take your clients through, or one or two of your favorite mind body practices even? Maybe you could demonstrate something for us.
Sure. One of the simplest things that I like to do is a very well researched backed breathing technique called square breathing or box breathing. And it basically is, and I can do it with you if you want to, but together, guiding people to. So basically, you would just get comfortable in whatever, wherever you are, and allow yourself to exhale and release the air from your lungs. And then on your next inhale, breathe in through your nose as you slowly count to four, just inside your own mind. And notice as the air fills up your lungs. And then hold your breath for a count of four. And then exhale for a count of four. And then hold your breath again for a count of four. And with each different step, you can imagine yourself working your way around a square. So you breathe in for a count of four, hold for a count of four, exhale to a count of four, and then hold for a count of four. And then you can just repeat this a few times over. And it really is a powerful, simple, free you can do this anywhere while you're driving, while you're having a, you know, conversation with someone, and it really can make a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Anything else that you want to share or you think is important to share about how you integrate this mind-body approach with some of the nutritional choices that people make or the rest of your work as an RD?
I think that it's just important to remember that there's different ways that individuals can do this. And my way isn't necessarily the right way or the only way. These are just things that I have come to based on experimentation, based on practices in my own life, mm-hmm. and getting client feedback and saying, how does this feel for yeah. you? You know, what are you experiencing right now? Mm-hmm.
So let's shift our focus a little bit and talk about the idea of creating your own path. So this builds very much so on what you had just shared. One thing that jumped out to me from a few minutes ago was this sense that there's pressure to sometimes just know it all, right? We as RDs, many of us are, I think, driven and wired that way, where the more information, the better. And we're just on this endless quest and search to have all the data, all the numbers, all the info. Yeah. And so you're talking about taking a bit of a different approach. And I also think that there's some value in that to be able to take some of the pressure off of ourselves as RDs. I know when I was going through my own education and just speaking with someone recently, actually, who I think was feeling the same, and it felt like, wow, I think I just need to keep going to school, like for years and years and years and years and years. And so tell us a bit about kind of what you wish you had known when you were first starting out in your education, as you were feeling a little conflicted, trying to create your own path. What advice or guidance maybe would you give to an RD who's in that similar space?
I think that what I wish I had known, and what I actually do recommend, because I often talk to students about creating a career path, is that being true to yourself and knowing what is important to you is the most important thing to guide your decisions. And a fulfilling career is going to be what is sort of lock in step with what is right for you, schedule wise, time commitment wise, energy wise. And there's so many different ways. What's amazing about this profession and career is there are as many ways to do it as there are people in the field. And I think that I wish I had probably just been kinder to myself. I was really harsh. I had very high expectations. I didn't know how much perfectionism was driving me because that was just so normal. And it took me a long time to realize how strong of an inner critic that I had and how scared I was of looking like I didn't have the answer or I didn't know everything. And that just added so much extra stress and pressure on myself when I've done a lot of different things. And I wish that I had realized that that kindness and self-compassion actually is a much better path, and no one expects you to know anything. And people have a lot of respect if you say, I'm not sure, let me check and get back to you, versus trying to fudge or pretend that you know when you just don't.
Mm-hmm. And you've really leaned into your own individual interests, it sounds like, too, right? Along the path, along these years. This may or may not make sense for me to ask the question this way, but what does that feel like when you've kind of made these decisions across, you know, right, of maybe this training, let me do this, let me explore this? How have you known that that was the right step for you to take?
A lot of times I guess to answer your question of how it felt scary in the moment. It felt scary to make decisions that weren't always, I don't want to say popular, but like I didn't see other people doing them. And so, but what I've come to realize is that actually is a sign that you are like, it's not actually a sign of anything bad. It's actually a sign of doing new things comes with that level of the uncertainty sometimes. And it's actually a sign that you are not just sort of following the status quo and what everyone thinks you should be doing. Mm-hmm. And as I look back, I can also see how when I decided to not study dietetics as an undergrad, I stayed in nutrition. I made my own major in international nutrition. But so I wanted to study abroad. I wanted to learn a language. I wanted to do all these things that wouldn't fit in 4 years with all the dietetics mm-hmm. requirements. And so I went to Costa Rica. I did a research project in two countries, Costa Rica and Guatemala. I learned Spanish. I learned how to interview people, and all those skills mm-hmm. were necessary. And I transferred into my time working on NHANES. Yeah. And so if I hadn't followed that gut little nudge, everything would have been so different. So that reinforced to me that sometimes those scary and hard decisions are necessary and important to get to where you need to go. Mm-hmm.
The courage then opens up doors that perhaps others don't have open to them for that reason. And just from following your gut instinct, your intuition, and your interests too, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I guess I mean, there's certain things for sure that are just for fun, but I really wanted my career to be not just this box where mm-hmm. everything else that I loved in life like was outside of it. And I just kept nutrition in this really, you know, tight little box. And so to me, that expansion and adding in and weaving different things has just been very rich. And I love it.
Yeah. A way of maybe just even taking care of yourself as a professional, nourishing yourself, right? Practicing in a way that feels really interesting to you. Do you have any advice maybe beyond what you've shared for a developing RD who's kind of in the same spot? Or do you think that pretty much covers it?
I always recommend reaching out, having conversations, talking to other RDs. I think when you're a student, it can be intimidating and you think it's easy to have a story of people don't want to talk to me or I'm just a student. And when you're on the other side, mm-hmm. it's so different. I love it when students reach out to me. And I think so many dietitians feel the same way. We want to share, support, help, nourish, guide, and do things. Because I remember how hard it was to be a student and you just are trying to figure it all out. So I always recommend informational interviews, reaching out to someone and just asking for 15, 20, 30 minutes of their time and connecting. It's also a really simple way to build your network and to get to know people who you'll probably bump into down the road, either at a fancy mm-hmm. or just in social media circles. You never really know.
Mm-hmm. And what a beautiful way to minimize that sense of isolation or feeling alone in your convictions or beliefs or whatever it might be, because there really is a community of dietitians who want to practice in these ways that are so inclusive and mind body oriented and whole person, you know, based and systems based, etc. So yeah, it's beautiful. Before we close with, I know you might have something to share with us, a quote maybe, or a piece of poetry, anything that's been left unsaid that you'd like to share?
I think that I just want to say how excited I am for the mind body sort of movement and how much energy and interest there is in this area. And some individuals like integrate it more than others, but there's a really beautiful thing happening, and I'm just so excited to be a part of it. And I'm open for anyone who hears this and wants to chat more and talk about it.
Okay. So Pamela, the mind body chair of DIFM, is inviting you to reach out, your emails, your engagement. Yeah. As she seeks to support us at this level. So thank you so much, Pamela. So how would you like to close?
The quote that is coming to me is, if you're willing to feel anything, you can do anything. What stops us from doing the things that we want is fear, uncertainty, discomfort. And so instead of orchestrating our life around those things and trying to convince ourselves that we're fine, if you're willing to engage with those uncomfortable feelings, you literally can do anything. And I want to see this profession to continue to grow and expand. And I think that it takes people who are willing to do things differently and have hard conversations. And yes, we want to stay evidence-based and we want to stay within our scope of practice. And there's just so many different ways that can look. So
I have never heard that quote before, but I don't think I will forget it very easily. Really love that. So thank you for sharing. And, thank you for just being so generous with your knowledge and your time, sharing with us a bit about your own individual journey.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you for this podcast. And thank you to DIFM for all of the great work that's happening. So
agreed.
Great to be here.
Yes,
thank you.
We're looking forward together. So thank you so much, Pamela.
For more information about evidence-based resources in integrative, holistic, and functional medicine, visit the Dietitians in Integrative and Functional Medicine website at integrativerd.org. If you have enjoyed this episode, subscribe in your favorite podcast app to continue learning about diversity in nutrition practice and perspectives.